Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, and it's always a pleasure to talk to her, is writer, natural historian, and journalist Cy Montgomery. And we're talking about her new books, Of Time and Turtles, Mending the World, Shell by Shattered Shell, and for young people, The Book of Turtles, illustrations by Matt Patterson. Cy, welcome back to the show. It is such a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, man, I've been dying to talk to you about reptiles. I'll do that any day.
Oh, come on. I mean, you had me at turtle. But first of all, I want to say that the cover of this painting is of this book, the cover painting of this book is great because it's sort of deceptive. You think, oh, it's just an Eastern painted turtle. But if you look closely, you'll notice that there are some braces along a crack on the shell, and that is really what this book is about. This book takes a lot of this book takes place at the Turtle Rescue League. Talk about that.
Oh man, the Turtle Rescue League is just the most amazing place. It looks like any suburban house in Southbridge, except it's painted limey green. But when you go inside, what you will find is that the two ladies who live there, Natasha Nowak and Alexia Bell, have in their basement between 250 and 1,000 turtles who are recovering from injuries, or they are newly hatched, or they were just given up because someone didn't want them, or they were confiscated by authorities. And these women work miracles. They can take a turtle who looks like a road crayon with cracked shells and cracked plastrons, missing eyes, like missing legs, metabolic bone disease, you name it. They have been able to bring these turtles back to life. And some of them have been literally dead.
Oh, yeah.
Back to
yeah.
life. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things I immediately learned from your book about this is turtles' metabolic systems take time to heal. And these two people and the people who volunteer with them, they are willing to give the time and the effort. You really have to, because if you brought these to a vet, the vet would euthanize these animals because it would seem like there was no hope whatsoever. But in many cases, you write about in the book, these turtles pull through.
Yes, because time is on their side. And that's one of the reasons I chose turtles to be my guides through the philosophical mystery of time, which this book explores, which, of course, happened during the pandemic when time itself stalled. But I totally understand why vets can't, they simply cannot afford to take in a patient who may be with them 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
They can't do that. And these women knew that. And that's why they turned their home into a hospital and a sanctuary for turtles.
It's an amazing place. And you worked there essentially for a year?
Oh, for like 3 years. And Matt Patterson, wildlife illustrator, and I would sometimes go more than once a week, even though it was a two-hour commute, more than 2 hours from our homes in Hancock and in New Ipswich. Now he's in Hancock. But it was so worth it. And one good thing was, because it was during the pandemic, we didn't have the traffic to contend with.
I know. That was one of the great things going birding during the pandemic. Nobody was on the roads and nobody was in the places that you wanted to bird.
No, it's true.
And it was a big positive for wildlife.
It was. In fact, I read, and this is in the book, that probably the biggest conservation success story in the United States since the creation of our national parks was the fact that there were fewer cars on the roads. We kill so many animals with our automobiles.
Isn't that
incredible? And turtles are at a particular disadvantage. They not only can most turtles not race across the highway and beat that car that's coming at you at 55 miles an hour, they probably don't even see the car that hits them because their perception, you know, their flicker fusion rate, which is how quickly you perceive what you're seeing. The reason that you and I see a hummingbird's wings as a blur, but a hawk sees them as individual wing beats, well, a turtle probably doesn't see that car that hit him at all. So cars are particularly deadly for these guys.
Well, there's also rectal sphincters who aim for the turtles.
Yes, that is horrible. And we have tried to be super careful with this book. I mean, most of the people that we talk to who keep turtles, they are very, very careful to keep either their location as a secret or, like the Turtle Rescue League, they have a good security system. And one of the places, the Turtle Survival Alliance, their turtle center, the address can be found nowhere, but they have guard dogs, and they have razor wire, and they have electric fences, and they have firearms.
Now, there's a reason for that organization, and that's in the book, too, is because they have some of the last turtles of that are extinct in the wild.
Yeah, and their work is amazing.
And worldwide, I mean, turtles are in trouble, and their turtles are there. And some of those turtles, you quoted some prices that went like $200,000 for one Yunnan box turtle.
Yeah, it's horrific, and they have been vacuumed out of the wild.
Oh yeah,
in Asia, these populations, they're gone in the wild. Many of them are just not existing, and meanwhile, the folks at Turtle Survival Alliance have had to figure out how to care for and breed turtles that no one even had a chance to study in the wild, because by the time they found out there was a crisis, they were gone. But they were able to do it. But a lot of it took excellent observation and incredible patience.
The illegal turtle trade and illegal reptile trade in general is just phenomenally depressing. You quote some statistics in the book where they've caught individual people with thousands of one type of turtle. They're going to sell them off either as pets or as folk medicine or whatever. And there's a huge market for them. And it's really depressing that goes on.
It is really horrible. And I'm hoping, I do believe that most people love turtles and that most people don't really want to hurt turtles.
How can you not love a turtle?
I know, how can you not? But a lot of it is due to traditional Chinese medicine.
Yep.
And traditional Chinese medicine is mostly plants. But there's a handful of animals that are being totally wiped out. And I believe that many of the people who buy these medicines are unaware that they're causing the demise of this creature. I also believe a lot of people who buy these animals as pets illegally, they too may be unaware that they're causing the demise of the very thing that they love. So I'm hoping that the book reaches some of those folks as well. And P.S., the Chinese medicine involving turtles does not make you well. So while you're taking this supplement or whatever that you paid a gazillion dollars for and killed not just the animal who's in the medicine that you're taking, but all the others that died in transport, you're not getting the medicine you need to get well.
That's right.
Let's get you the medicine you really need, and let's save these animals.
Now, as always, and I would expect no less, whenever you're working with an animal like this, and this is animals, you're always looking for their personality.
Yes.
And people would be surprised. Well, you know, people would think a turtle can't have a personality. And throughout this book, you reveal the fact that they do.
Oh, my gosh. And in some turtles, it is obvious, even if you don't believe that animals have personalities, which, of course, they do because it has adaptive value and everyone's an individual. But if you were able to meet Sprockets or Pizza Man or
Fire Chief
you would
is my favorite.
Right away, they are personality. Plus, some of them, like Pizza Man, he's a red-footed tortoise and he lives at Turtle Rescue League. When you come in the door, this turtle runs towards you to meet you and gives you a formal greeting, which is obviously a greeting. He rushes towards you. He wants to be where the action is. And his greeting, you know, like most people in North America would shake hands or give a hug or something. For a red-footed tortoise, the greeting is you jerk your head to one side and then back to the middle and then to the other side and then to the middle. And you do a little gular pumping in which their throat expands and contracts while they're sniffing or, you know, inhaling chemical information. They look right into your face. It's very obvious that this turtle loves company and is very curious.
Sprockets.
The same with Sprockets.
Sprockets was found 2 blocks from my house.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, at WPI, the Institute Pond.
Yeah, that's why he was named Sprockets, because he was found in a box that used to contain computer paper.
Oh my God.
That would be, you know, spit out with, you know.
So wait a minute, somebody Sprockets. Just left the box there.
Yes, and this was November. Jeez. They left a huge reptile who's native to Southeast Asia out in the cold, practically on the street. Jeez. I mean, who would do this? But happily, some good students found the tortoise and called Turtle Rescue League, and now he's just the happiest tortoise you could ever find. And he snugs. He is kind of Natasha's soulmate, and he snuggles with her. I have seen pictures that Alexia took of the two of them sleeping together, snuggled up together. But he, too, when you walk in the room, he comes plodding out of wherever it was he was, and he wants to take a look and see who you are and check it out. They're curious. They're smart. And, of course, there's also shy turtles, you know. They're yep. just like they're shy people. You get me at a cocktail party, and I'm going to be hiding in the bathroom if I can't, like, hang out with the dog in the kitchen. But, you know, and if a shy turtle, you're not getting any action out of them because they can go in their shell.
Well, I love Fire Chief because Fire Chief was a severely wounded, large snapping turtle. And I've helped many a large snapping turtle across the road. I will say I have never learned that correct way to hold the snapping turtle that you detail in this book. I'm always coaxing them with a net into a big tub and then dragging the tub across.
Well, that works. God bless you. That's terrific.
Oh, it's a whole process. But I, ever since a kid, and I saw these huge, and snapping turtles get really big and yeah. old.
Yeah. Well, this guy, I mean, first of all, my husband was a little bit jealous when a huge thing of flowers came from who knew where to the house, and he starts reading the note, and it's like, "To my true love, you know, I cherish our time together." And I was telling one of my girlfriends, you know, like, yeah, I do kind of, I'm crushing on this guy, and he's age appropriate, he's about my age, and he's single, but he's a snapping turtle. I mean, we're like crazy about each other, and he's such a great guy. He's crazy about Matt as well.
Yep.
And this guy, he weighs 42 pounds, and he would not be alive today if it
no.
wasn't for
Alexia. Well, he had a broken spine.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, my God. And, you know, yeah, to your point of people being afraid to cross snapping turtles, he was called Fire Chief because he lived at a fire pond.
Yeah.
He spent his summers in the fire pond next to the firehouse and then would cross the road to a different pond, and he was making that crossing when he was hit. And the firefighters knew this snapping turtle and cared about him, but these brave guys who run into burning buildings to save you, they were afraid to pick up the snapping turtle. So a Samaritan calls Turtle Rescue League, and Natasha and Alexia come out, you know, these two slender women, rushing out with their kayak, and they made a water rescue of this huge snapping turtle and took him back, and they fixed up his shell. And by the time we met him, he'd been hit in October of 2018, so we met him in 2020. And by then, the crack had healed completely, but his back legs, they were starting to come back. His back legs and tail were starting to come back, but he needed physical therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And not everyone gets to do physical therapy with a huge, you know, 60-year-old, 42-pound snapping turtle. And at one point, Alexia and Natasha made him a wheelchair. And we did like some wheelchair therapy.
I love it.
We had a sling for him. And we were building up his muscles in the hopes that one day he could be free again. And he is free again. But it was a roller coaster ride, and the outcome was totally unexpected. So it's a
read about
really
it.
Don't
give it away.
Story.
Don't give it away. Make people buy the book. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight, always a pleasure to talk to her, is writer, award-winning writer, natural historian and journalist Cy Montgomery. And she has two books out, Of Time and Turtles, Mending the World, Shell by Shattered Shell. And there's a young people's book called The Book of Turtles. And that both of them are illustrated by Matt Patterson.
He's an amazing, amazing turtle artist. And he's a turtle savant. He's a major character in Turtles, too. And that's a good thing. He's a big, strong guy. And sometimes when you have to, like, wade into water up to your waist and lift up a 40-pound snapping turtle, he's your man.
Now, let's talk about turtles in general and all the things. There's so much information. People get a lot of great, useful information in this book. What do most turtles here in New England do in the wintertime?
Well, they brumate, which is what reptiles do when they hibernate. Some of them, though, are awake under the water.
Yeah, I've seen snapping turtles under the ice.
Yeah, sometimes they wake up. Some of them, it's an amazing thing to be walking on top of the ice and seeing like a turtle swimming under there. But they're able to kind of go into it's not exactly a coma because they are aware of stuff. Folks who study these things have shown that turtles are aware of light, even though they're brumating and they've slowed their metabolism way, way, way down. But they have that ability, like Lazarus, to essentially go underground or go under the water and seemingly be dead, but rise up again in the spring. It's an amazing thing. Some of them do it by breathing through their cloaca, all-purpose hole in their tail. Turtles have the most amazing abilities. We think of them as these common creatures, and they are. We see them, we see them sunning on logs, we see them crossing roads, and many of us had turtles as pets. We think we know them, but we're unaware of some of their amazing abilities, like being able to spend the winter in hibernation, like the ability that some New England turtles have to climb trees. The stink pot or musk turtle, the first time I ever saw one, it was sleeping in a tree. We don't think of this. There's other ones. The Asian big-headed turtle actually has a prehensile or grasping tail that helps it climb trees. And I have read that rather than swim across a river, sometimes they'll cross by walking up a tree and going into the canopy and crossing that way.
Wow.
Amazing.
Isn't it amazing? Now, there's so much to talk about. I want to make sure we cram as much as we can in here. You also did sea turtle rescuing up on Wellfleet.
Yes, that was an amazing night.
You hiked all the way out in the middle of winter, all the way out to Jeremy Point. I've done that hike. It's a tough hike in good weather.
Sounds of seaweed and turtles. Like Matt was dragging this sled. First of all, we should tell people this was in December.
I know.
During
I've done this hike in the summer, and it's brutal. In the wintertime, it must be amazing.
Well, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Again, I was not the one pulling the sled. Matt was pulling the sled. And we got like bonus miles too. We were looking on the map, on your phone that shows where you are. And by the time that we'd walked as far out as we were going to walk, it showed that we were actually in the ocean, which we were not. But more land had appeared, so it was like an 11-mile, 12-mile.
You were looking for Kemp's Ridley's turtle.
Yes.
Why are they beaching themselves in December?
Oh, yeah. This is so important to know. Global warming is affecting the Gulf of Maine and that whole area more than any other part of the sea. And so what happens is when the waters of the Atlantic start to get cold, it's still warm close to land. And a lot of these turtles don't migrate in time, and they get caught by the cold. And because they're reptiles, they can't move. So they're just floating in this cold water and nowhere to go. But if the winds are right, they will blow them like driftwood on the waves back to the shore. And you can rescue them. But you have to be super careful. We would take them to the Wellfleet Audubon facility where they would very, very slowly and carefully warm them up and then take them to New England Aquarium's Quincy facility where they would continue their rehabilitation. Because a lot of times in this condition, they've actually drowned, or you know they've got sand in their lungs, or they've injured themselves. The five that we found, they were all alive. They were all gonna be just fine. But it's a heck of a thing to go out. The day we went, there was a huge, huge storm in New Hampshire. Trees were down. Matt and his wife Erin had no electricity. Why go out in the freezing cold with ice and snow to look for a reptile on the beach?
Yeah.
But that's where they were.
It's amazing. Now, something that I actually found very touching. In the fall at the turtle rescue facility, they bury all the unsuccessful rescues, mm-hmm. the ones that they were not able to save or are too far gone. Talk to me about that. That was a wonderful ceremony.
Oh, gosh. It just broke our hearts. They usually freeze these corpses until there's time to have the ceremony. So you're taking these animals out of the freezer who Alexia and Natasha and Michaela, they knew every single one,
right.
and had tried to save every single one. And Matt and I, we would come in once a week, twice a week. We knew many of them. And seeing them again and putting them in the ground broke our hearts. But we remembered how much each one of them taught us. And in some cases, Natasha and Alexia can even help a turtle if they're dead. In that, the females, who are often hit while they're crossing to lay their eggs, they can remove those
That's
eggs.
Right.
They can
That's
incubate
right.
those eggs and let the babies go as close as they can find to the nearest wetland where they would have hatched. And we also, some of the pet turtles that people had, we waited until that time to bury some of those animals, sometimes animals that they'd lived with for years. And as we lay them in the ground, you know, their final nest, weeping sometimes, we were all just so grateful for whatever time we had with these animals and for the secrets that they shared with us during their lives. And what they showed us will allow Turtle Rescue League to help other turtles.
Yeah.
And one of the turtles who we buried, Mike Henry's turtle, who he loved so much, her name was Sugarloaf. And although she was dead, Mike made a point of saying, you know, this was the turtle that really got me into turtle rescue. And every time I pick up an injured turtle on the road, every time I head start a hatchling, every time I help a turtle, it's the power of the loaf.
That's right.
It's the power of this turtle who I loved, who inspired me. And she is still doing good in the world.
We just have a few minutes left. And I have to say, this is a different kind of book in many ways from previous books. And we've talked about a lot about your previous books. This book is very introspective, very meditative, somber in times. And a lot of it has to do with the time that it was written. It was written during the COVID.
Yes. And
but it,
what a time to think about time.
And, you know, the title is of Time and Turtles. There's a lot of writing in here about your perception of time.
Yes, and it changes as you get older.
Oh, I know. And, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a palpable sense of mortality in this book.
Well, yeah, particularly when you're seeing animals that you love dying, animals who could live for, in some cases, over a century. And, you know, I'm now 65 years old, and I kind of felt at age 60 that I had entered a new phase of life,
yeah.
that phase that you get to be an elder. And that was exciting, you know. It's the time that you get to pursue wisdom to a degree that perhaps you don't have time to when you're, I mean, many of us at that time are raising families or they're building a career or, you know, you always feel like you're running outside in your bathroom to take a taxi to the airport. And now, as an elder, you know, I have the honor of being able to help young people because I've been alive longer than them and maybe learn some stuff. But it is a time in life when you want to contemplate that philosophical mystery of time. You know, what is it? Is it an arrow that's shooting forward? Is it something that flows through you? Is it something that you go through? Does it accumulate like treasure, or does it run away like sand through an hourglass? What is it? And turtles had to be the very best guides to that because, you know, here they existed. They rose at the same time as the dinosaurs. They lived so long. They embody patience. They were great guides as I entered my elderhood.
They're also on a different time schedule than we are.
Yes, totally.
Most of the time, we're rushing about going from Project A to Project B to Project C. And by working on turtles, and this comes out so clearly in the book, you're entering a different way of looking at the world through time.
Absolutely. And when you look at a turtle who fixates his or her attention on something, whether it's your face or the worm they're going to bite or a delicious mushroom, you see this laser focus. And that is so refreshing at an era in human history when everyone is like twitchy and on their phone and their computer and, you know, no one can pay attention to anything. Turtles know how to pay attention.
This is a fantastic book, and we're completely out of time. There's so much more in this book. My returning guest tonight, always a pleasure.
Oh, so great to talk to you.
Award-winning writer, natural historian, journalist, Cy Montgomery. And we've been talking about her new book, Of Time and Turtles, Mending the World, Shell by Shattered Shell. But I want to mention The Book of Turtles for Younger Readers, which is also out. Both of them are illustrated by Matt Patterson. Cy, it's been a real pleasure. This is a wonderful book.
Gosh, well, I am so glad. Coming from you, that means a lot, because you know a lot about animals of all kinds, but particularly reptiles. They're so close to our heart.
It's close to my heart. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.